This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's kick off the final hour of Grant and Danny on this Wednesday. The big one at 1, our preview of this weekend's NFL playoff action. Matt Bowen, whose content we look forward to every single time he writes a piece, we grab it. ESPN.com, of course, a decorated high school coach at this point. His clubs are winning championships as well. When he talks football, we get smarter. Matt, I appreciate the time. I guess let's just start with this weekend and the first of the games that we've got on Saturday. The Falcons and the Eagles, Philly, a one seed at home, a underdog for the first time ever. What should we expect from Nick Foles after the bye week?
Well, I think Nick Foles can learn a lot if he goes back and watches the film from this past weekend and see the struggles that Jared Goff had against that Atlanta defense. Okay, what Atlanta's doing right now, they're playing a lot more man coverage than I expected. They're challenging routes outside. And their speed at the second level, I mean, it's fun to watch. And if you watch that game last Saturday night and the Rams lost to Atlanta, you throw the ball to the flat, it's downhill, it's wrap up, it's tackle. They're limited yards after the catch. So that's one thing you have to look at, is how are they going to produce numbers after the catch? Is it going to be crossing routes? What are they going to do to create open windows for Nick Foles? You can't ask Nick Foles to go out there and make all these tight window throws and expect to win a playoff game with the way the Atlanta defense is playing. So what are you going to do from a game plan perspective is going to be based on your formation, your alignment. You've got to do something to create some open windows and also create some explosive plays. One player I looked at is Zach Ertz. I'm telling you guys, Zach Ertz is one of the best route runners in terms of the position in the NFL. The way he runs the seam route, the way he sets up defensive backs to create leverage inside, he has to have a big game, and Foles has got to deliver the ball to him. Remember that game they played, I think it was Christmas night, right, against the Raiders?
Yep.
He had Ertz a couple times in the red zone. You got to make that throw, Grant. Grant, you got to make that throw. You've got to make that throw when your wide receiver, your tight end wins, especially in a playoff setting.
I want to jump in about Atlanta's defense. You touched on it. That, to me, everyone thinks of them as this offensive team based on what they did last year with Kyle Shanahan and the like. I thought their offense underwhelmed a bit this year, although still very capable. That defense, to me, they kind of rebooted it. Keanu Neal last year, Deion Jones flies around, Grady Jarrett's a force up front. I like their corners. I like this defensive group here. Might they be able to affect this thing?
I agree 100%. And I think it's interesting that you bring that up because it is not a complete shift from last season, but that was the narrative of Atlanta last season. How do you stop them offensively? What are you going to do to limit Matt Ryan, the running backs, Julio Jones? What are you going to do to limit these guys? And now Atlanta offense is much more balanced, much more really run-first offense this season. And they can do that because of their defense, the way the defense is playing. And really look at their makeup as a team and their style of football right now. That's how you win in January. You win by controlling the offensive front and by playing fast and tackling on defense. It's really not that complicated. You know, the great thing about Atlanta's defense is it's not, you know, it's not this creative, unique, brand-new football. I mean, they line up and play. Like I said, they're playing man coverage. I mean, what's new about that? Nothing. It's just they're playing pressed in a lot of scrimmage. They're challenging receivers at the line and down the field. If you look at that game Saturday night, how many plays did they make on the ball down the field? That's what they won. And the number one thing is they tackle. I guarantee whoever wins the Super Bowl this year, we're going to look at their defense. And every coach, especially at my level and the high school level, will say, you know what? We need to study them because of how they tackle, how they create angles to the football, how they wrap up on contact. That's what Atlanta's doing right now. They're not giving you anything. It's wrap, tackle, and puts you on the ground.
Matt Bowen on Grant and Danny. Love hearing him break down the action we'll be seeing this weekend. Let's get to the Saturday night game. Tennessee is in New England to take on the Patriots. Marcus Mariota has had a rough season. I think we know that as a passer. He had a good second half to get him over Kansas City and to get him past round one. I'm curious about two things. First of all, Derrick Henry on the ground. Can New England be had up front? Are they susceptible to the running game? And then secondly, pressuring Tom Brady. That was a big key for them against Alex Smith. When Brady is on the move, he's not the same guy. We've seen that in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. And Grant, you can go back to that Houston game last year. I think everyone remembers that, you know, divisional round last year, and obviously Houston had poor play at the quarterback position. But if they had, let's say they had adequate play or much more consistent play at the quarterback position, you're talking about a one-score game late in the game because of how they pressured Brady. I think everyone's going to look at that tape and say, okay, what did Houston do last year? It's interior pressure. You know, when I have a quarterback, and this goes back to my time in Washington with Greg Williams, like we'll play against Drew Bledsoe. Okay, when you play against a pure pocket passer, you don't want to rush outside. You want to rush up the middle, the A and B gaps. You want to make a move off the spot in the pocket. That makes them uncomfortable. Okay, if you get Tom Brady on the move, much different than playing against an Aaron Rodgers, right? Because Aaron Rodgers, you don't want him to get outside. He gets outside, it's ball game, you lose. But with Tom Brady, you want to make him hit that eject button and move outside the pocket. So I agree, you can see interior pressure, a lot of zone pressure, I believe, Tennessee. And on offense, yeah, they have to run the ball. I think it's a great opportunity for Derrick Henry. I really do. And I understand they've had, you know, a two-back approach with DeMarco Murray for, you know, the last 2 years. But really, this is a unique opportunity for him because I do believe he's the number one back in the NFL. I do believe that. And anyone who watched that game the other day saw that, you know, you throw an arm tackle at Derrick Henry? Come on, man. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You have to tackle him. And a lot of times it takes multiple guys to the ball to bring him down. Especially going back to your point, Grant, because of the struggles Mariota's had this season, they have to establish tempo. And that's the thing. You know New England's going to play with tempo on offense. So how do you steal more possessions? Okay, how do you steal possession? What I mean by steal possession? It means get another possession within the game. Is it on special teams? Is it putting together a 12-play drive on offense? Is that really stealing a possession from New England when you control the tempo or control the clock? I think that's what Tennessee has to do to have a shot in this game.
Matt, when you look at Jacksonville-Pittsburgh, we know how the first matchup went. This is a different Pittsburgh team, right, even without Ryan Shazier. Mm-hmm. To me, the story of this game is, can Jacksonville's offense do enough? I wouldn't go to bed comfortable the night before thinking, we'll just trust Blake to make a few plays down the field.
Right.
How do they do it? Can they do anything? Can they do enough against Pittsburgh to steal this one?
Now, the one thing I would take from the wild card game with Jacksonville, and everyone knows Blake Bortles now play good football, but early down play action. Okay, because they are such a run-heavy team with Leonard Fournette. And we're going to be early down, I mean first down play action. Because that's when linebackers are on their toes. That's when they're creeping downhill before the snap because they know that they're going to get power and lead in that against that Jacksonville offense with Leonard Fournette downhill. So that's when you can create those windows. It's just simple play action. Throw the slant behind it. Throw the square in behind it. And, you know, and that's going to move the sticks a little bit for Jacksonville. But you know, Danny, I agree. It's going to come down to that defense again. That defense is great. I mean, that's the best defense I've watched on film all year in terms of the ability to rush the passer. You know, the play of Jalen Ramsey, the cornerback position, which is phenomenal for a second-year pro. They're going to have to create turnovers. They have to. And I'm not saying they're going to get, they have five interceptions against Ben Roethlisberger in the latest season. I don't believe that's going to happen again. But can you get two? Can you set up Blake Bortles with the ball twice and the plus 50, because you're going to have to do it to compete with Pittsburgh. You're going to have to score some points. And that's a lot of pressure on the defense, but you know what? Their defense has played like that all season. You know, it's interesting to see what Pittsburgh does, you know, how they adjust from that first tape. But like I said, that's a long time ago. Teams are so different than they are the first half of the season compared to the playoffs. It's almost a different football team, really. But what can they take from that tape to try to move the ball and attack those corners? Because there are, as good as Jacksonville is, guys, there are still ways to attack, okay, whether it's up the seams versus cover three, three-level routes versus cover three. There's a way to create windows. I'm interested to see how Pittsburgh attacks.
Matt Bowen breaking down the NFL playoffs. Went to Iowa, of course, longtime Redskin, Packer, NFL safety. Misguided Cubs fan. He's actually a Nats fan. He just doesn't know it yet, but we won't hold that against him. Hey, last game of the weekend. The Saints draft class, for some reason, no one talks about what they just did in 2017, but they went Marshawn Lattimore. Ryan Ramczyk, the offensive tackle that they took, is terrific.
Yeah.
You go get Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee. I mean, completely stocked the cupboard for the next few years. Then you got Minnesota's got three quarterbacks that are going to be free agents, and I don't know how they're going to let Case Keenum walk after the season he just put together. First of all, what do you expect in the game? And secondly, who do you think they choose to be their quarterback of the future in Minnesota?
Well, for, you know, expecting in the game, you know, I wrote about Case Keenum today at ESPN. It was all the first-year starters, you know, kind of graded their upside. And I really like Case Keenum's tape this year. I do. He's got some sandlot ball in him, which I like because he can create. I mean, that's what he does. He gets outside of the pocket. He can make some plays. You know, Pat Shurmur's offense, that creates open windows. Look at Adam Thielen, what he's done, especially inside vertical throws. And really give credit to Minnesota because Dalvin Cook, that's legit talent, and they lost him to an ACL injury. But what they've done with Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon to kind of facilitate that production or replace that production at the running back position, and then flip over to defense. You know, I said Jacksonville's got the best defense I saw. Minnesota was the second best I saw. Harrison Smith's the best safety in the NFL right now. They got pass rushers up front. They got Xavier Rhodes at corner. So it'll be interesting to see how New Orleans attacks. And really, New Orleans is, you know, we were just talking about Atlanta built for January. So is New Orleans. Now, Drew Brees was excellent the other day. He can still throw people open better than anyone in the NFL. But what they do with the running back position is just awesome. Mark Ingram downhill, Mark Ingram in the screen game. And Alvin Kamara, I mean, he's a matchup weapon. That's what he is. He can line up in the slot. He can line up out wide. He's got great body control on edge runs. You could use him in the screen game. You can use him on checkdowns out of the backfield. And like you said, that New Orleans draft class looks defensively. Marshawn Lattimore, for a young kid at corner to have that type of technique, I don't remember seeing that very often. I don't. I just don't. Maybe Champ Bailey, someone like that, okay? Because you don't have that type of technique usually when he comes to the NFL. At that early of a time, and to be able to look like a veteran out there, that's what he is. He will lock you down. So I think this is good, the best game of the weekend. I really believe that. I don't know which way it's going to go. I picked the Saints earlier to go all the way and win the Super Bowl. So from my perspective, I would like to see New Orleans win. But, you know, two great football teams, two teams with defenses and running games, an accurate, solid play at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. That's the marquee one of the weekend for sure. Matt, always love having you on, buddy. Appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Thank you.
And by the way, Matt, I love the Chatwood edition. I think that's smart. I think that you guys still need a pitcher, though. I'm telling you, you got to go get you Darvish.
I'd like to get Harper in a couple years.
Okay, now we can't have that conversation.
I just don't like to be so mean at the close there, Matt.
Matt, we're not going to go there, okay,
so
Matt?
Mean.
We're not going to do
all
that.
Right,
thanks,
I'll see you.
Matt Bowen, Cubs fan. And really smart NFL analyst.
Knowledgeable gentleman and Cubs fan.
Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Kirk Cousins talked to us about the Redskins receiver position when we sat down with him this past Friday at Jam and Java. What he said about the wide receiver spot, what we think about that position going into the offseason next.
Folks, Danny Rouillet for my guys at Tedbert Ford right now. Talking about right now. You can lease a 2018 Ford Fusion just like mine, except it's a 2018. I got the 17 because I got it in 2017. You can get your 18 and 18, baby. Just $199 a month for that Ford Fusion. And you want to buy from Tedbert Ford? It's a good idea because here's what you're going to get. You get Tedbert for life. We'll talk about that in a second. You get a great car at a great price. And your trade-in. That's right. Your rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Oh, doctor. Your mediocre trade-in. 130% Kelley Blue Book value. 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in right now at Tedbert Ford. Some more lease deals. How about $150 a month for an Escape or buy for $16,999? $230 a month for the 2018 Ford Explorer, or up to $10,000 off the MSRP. And the granddaddy, 2018 Ford F-150, $249 a month, or up to $11,000 off the MSRP. And as I said, you buy from Tedbert Ford, new, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get Tedbert for life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage. Go see him and tell him Danny sent you.
The receiver position, you know, I do think it's still a work in progress. You know, I think we have some guys who are going to be free agents and like we did last year. And, you know, Terrell Pryor got hurt. Really, the injury goes back to, I believe, week two. So, you know, that wasn't the season we had hoped for, partly because of that injury. And Josh Doctson kind of came into a role as the year went on. So it's still evolving, but I do feel good about, you know, that position and the guys who contributed and the way they work day in and day out. And
when has it ever worked to draft a couple wide receivers in the same draft or over a couple of years and have them both turn out to be really, really good players for you? I think you'd have to think long and hard. Malcolm Kelly, Devin Thomas idea, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm definitely poisoned because of that.
So I'm thinking Jaguars. Like, I love a few of their receivers, but they've never all been great at the same time. They drafted Allen Hurns and Marcus Robinson and Marquise Lee, and they're like, oh, we're going to be set for years. Well, they're deep and they're really good, but it basically takes one guy getting hurt for the other one to step up, and it stunts the development of the others. I am out on drafting a wide receiver in the first couple rounds. I'm going to use all of the ounces of my energy and all of the money that I have and all of the care to try to develop a receiver, which is this very hard, difficult, arduous task, and make that player great. I'm going to use that on Josh Doctson, not splitting my efforts between two kids and multitasking between Doctson and somebody else. My plan is, Danny, I want to know what you think about this, then I want to hear yours. I am signing a couple wide receivers. My five deep is going to look like this. I'm going out and I'm getting Marquise Lee from the Jacksonville Jaguars. They'll get Allen Robinson back from injury. They've got Allen Hurns coming back from injury.
Lee's a good little player.
He's a solid player. As a number two wideout, I think he is tremendous. Him and Josh Doctson together can compete to become the alpha dog in this offense. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I need some speed. John Brown's available. He's probably the best version of what he is on free agency. How about Paul Richardson from Seattle?
That's the name I had circled.
16 yards per catch, makes acrobatic grabs down the field. Great in the slot from time to time on some of those deep routes in the seam, like Jamison Crowder is, if you want to move Crowder outside to give teams other looks. So I'm going and getting Lee. I don't think you have to break the bank. You got to pay him a little bit, not Jarvis Landry style. I'm going and getting Paul Richardson. That's going to be a little bit cheaper than people probably think. Then I've got Doctson and Crowder and Grant, and I'm five deep with Maurice Harris as my sixth guy. I feel good about the position for right now. Would I love to do better? Would I love to get a star? Yes, but I'm spending on defense right now. I'm building and putting the majority of my money in my front seven, my defensive line. I want heat-seeking missiles and animals that get to the quarterback, my linebacking core. I want a bunch of young kids that go sideline to sideline and destroy ball carriers. So receiver, I'm going to kind of be cheap and go the veteran route.
Let's assume competence, of course, in the front office, which is not a given, but let's assume it here for this discussion. During my evaluation, I got to go, what am I getting from Jordan Reed next year? During my evaluation, I got to go, what am I getting from Josh Doctson next year? Because that's going to influence my thinking. If I get an increase in production, if all the people that love to glowingly tweet about every Josh Doctson practice are to be believed, he's on his way to being a bona fide, you'd call it in a normal offense, a number two, but it's different than the Redskins offense because they spread it around so much. That's what they're always going to do. There's going to be Thompson. There's going to be Reed. There's going to be Crowder. Everybody needs to eat, right?
Let me give you numbers like that could go work for those two guys next year and see how it changes your plan.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
Yeah.
So for Doctson, he caught 35 for 506 this year. He goes 75 for 1060 and 9 next year. Reed plays in, say, a dozen games and catches 80 balls for 950 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Then it's one cheap little speed guy. Then I'm going to get John Brown or Richardson or somebody like that.
Okay, now let's say it's more like this year where they're in and out of the lineup and inconsistent.
And that's what I'm betting on. I'm betting on this leap not happening from Doctson if I'm an evaluator. I'm betting on Reed not being healthy enough. I have seen what it looks like when I don't have that nice, comfortable security blanket. I've seen what it happens when I don't have a true, honest-to-goodness number one. It's the difference, really, the biggest one between me and the really good, unstoppable offenses. I'm spending on that spot. Given their state, I'm going to go spend on that spot. I've invested heavily via the draft in my offensive line. I'm now starting four guys that I drafted and some free agent plug-in. It may be five if Spencer Long converts over to guard. Heavily invested in Trent Williams, Brandon Scherff, Morgan Moses, who have all gotten paid, and now Cousin Chase Roullier maybe is my center, and Spencer Long could be my left guard. That's where I've drafted and invested. I'm going to add one free agent piece in the offseason. That's going to be my marquee piece, and then everything else is going to be via the draft on defense. I'm going to go spend on
a Jarvis Landry. So you're not going to spend on a key defensive player?
I still will, but not to the point.
But
I'm majoring in draft.
You get to sign a stud defensive lineman, or you get to sign a wide receiver. You're signing a wide receiver.
I would, because my entire draft board is about defense. I'm basically just bringing in, releasing
I'm
the
going
house.
And getting a known commodity who makes me a lot better right away. Like a Malik Jackson-type impact player. Not to that level of spending, because I don't know that they'll ever do that
right.
For anyone not named Josh Norman. But that whoever the best couple defensive linemen are, I'll give you a couple names in a minute, I'm spending on one of those guys. Let's go to Sean in Fairfax. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Sean?
Hey, good.
I agree with both your guys' points here. You know, I think it really depends on, obviously, the defensive side of the ball needing a lot of help. But on top of that, you know, if Kirk stays or goes, sounds like he's going. You know, who's throwing the rock? How are you going to get someone to come and kind of agree to play for a very unstable quarterback situation? But out of all the top, I guess, five wide receivers you're looking at, you know, Grant brought up Marquise Lee. I'm more of an Allen Robinson guy. You know, he had Blake Bortles throwing him the rock down there in Jacksonville for the last couple of years and put up decent numbers until he got hurt. You know, pay that guy the $8 million a year you gave Pryor and see what he turns into.
Yeah, so Allen Robinson's a better receiver than Marquise Lee and is obviously going to hit free agency. The question then becomes, though, what would you have to pay him? if you can get him on a discount on a one-year show-me contract because of his knee injury, I'll play that game with you. Sure, no problem. He's going to cost a lot more, in my opinion, than Marquise Lee is going to. Allen Robinson, pre-injury, was becoming one of the 10 best wide receivers in football. Those guys are making $10 to $12 million, and now you're getting into the Danny Ruggie range of paying a number one wideout. I'm not paying a number one wideout. That's why I'm going with Marquise Lee, is I'm trying to pay guys to basically... I think in this offense with Jay Gruden, you don't need a number one. You need a bunch of number twos. Think of it like a rotation in baseball.
That's if everybody's
bunch
healthy.
Of middle of the rotation
and
starters.
You're right. If everybody's right, then everybody gets to eat at the table. Everybody goes to the buffet and they come back with, you know, north of 60 catches and, you know, 800 to 1,000 yards, and everybody's happy. And the offense moves, and I got no problem with that. I just now am reading the tea leaves with Reed's injury history and everything kind of adding up. I'm not expecting him to all of a sudden transform into this healthy guy, and I don't buy Doxson as an every down option in the near future. I think he's got a cool skill set, and he'll help you as kind of that gimmicky red zone jump ball sort of guy, do it once or twice a game. But I don't know that third and five on a consistent basis, he's beating press man and getting himself open on a slant. I need a guy that I can trust to do that.
So defensive lineman, the best available is going to be DeMarcus Lawrence, who had 15 sacks with the Cowboys this year. My guess is he stays put. I never really go out and just sign the best guy who's coming off the best year. The next best rusher on the defensive line is probably Ziggy Ansah from the Lions, who had 12 sacks. That's a guy at 28 years old who's a better 43 player than a 34 player. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a lot of interest there. The names I'm talking about are guys like Adrian Claiborne, who had that 6-sack game against the Cowboys and had double-digit sacks this year, who's 29 years old.
20 quarterback hits, pretty consistent pressure.
Absolutely. Love Adrian Claiborne. I'm spending the money you would spend on Jarvis Landry on that guy. Or I'm spending the money that you would spend on a number one wide receiver on somebody like, not necessarily Sheldon Richardson from Seattle, who's kind of a head case, 27 mm-hmm. years old, but that type of player, or a Star Latulale, or you know who I really like, honestly, because I think some of these guys have their best football behind him. Alex Okafor from the Saints, who's 26 years old, who's kind of coming into his own, had 5 sacks and about 10 quarterback hits this year. A guy like that, with Jonathan Allen, with Matt Ioannidis, with a defensive lineman or an inside linebacker I'm drafting in the first round at number 13 overall, my defense makes major leaps forward if I can pull that off.
Here's my counter, and your point, I think, on paper is well seen. I'm just now gun-shy because we all have our own experiences come into this, right? That's why I'm terrified of drafting a receiver high because of Malcolm Kelly and Devin Thomas. I'm now terrified of the guy that thrived in another scheme coming to this one. That's what scares me about these defensive line. I'm not saying never.
Okay.
I'm saying I need it to be a 34 standout coming to the 34. I don't want the 43 guy that was fine that comes here
they're
and
not
is sort of
34
abandoned.
Enough. That's their base defense. They're in it about, what, 15% of the time? I don't worry as much about that.
I feel like you should. I mean, with Hatcher and Pye, these guys haven't worked.
Well, it's not because they came to a 34. Stephen Pye wasn't that good of a football player. Jason Hatcher gets hurt all the time. Was 32 years old. You and I didn't like that the day they did it.
Of course not.
They have not signed a 26-year-old primetime defensive player who a lot of people feel like is about to break out and be a freak to come here and pay them a bunch of money at any point. Who was the last guy they spent a lot of money on the defensive line?
A lot of
Maybe
money?
Maybe Barry Cofield, who was actually really good for
that
a couple years.
Out. Yeah.
I mean, Stephen Bowen had a 6-sack season as a 5-tech in this defense, and they gave him about $20 million. These players are better caliber players than those guys. A couple people still on hold. I want to take your calls. Danny wants to hear from you at 800-636-1067. Your plan for the Redskins at receiver is what we're asking you on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On Friday, we sat down with Kirk Cousins. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, the entire interview with Cousins. Audio available, grantanddanny.com/audio. Video available, thefandc.com. He was candid about a bunch of topics. One of them was the Redskins' wide receiver position this past season and moving forward. Here's what he had to say. One of the many things he said about the receiver spot over the course of 90 minutes.
The receiver position, you know, I do think it's still a work in progress. You know, I think we have some guys who are going to be free agents and like we did last year. And, you know, Terrell Pryor got hurt. Really, the injury goes back to, I believe, week 2. So, you know, that wasn't the season we had hoped for, partly because of that injury. And, Josh Doctson kind of came into a role as the year went on. So it's still evolving, but I do feel good about you know, that position and the guys who contributed and the way they work day in and day out. And
one of the things he also said a little bit later on when we were talking about the receiver spot, unsolicited, we didn't ask about wide receiver. We asked about what you would add to this offense if you were playing GM, and after his normal kind of polite, kind, caveated,
right,
well, I'm not the GM and they should do their job, he said, I do think one thing we lacked this year was speed down the field. And he mentioned that the plan was that Terrell Pryor was going to take the lid off. When he got hurt, he wasn't able to do that. By the way, what are you eating over there?
Chicken and mushrooms.
Is it? What's the thing in the far corner that I can't see?
Chicken and mushrooms. It's the only two ingredients.
Okay, so the chicken is up top. It's very thin piece of chicken.
Thinly sliced like chicken breast.
It looked like a, thank you very much, Tommy. It looked like a pancake, and I thought you were about to eat a pancake.
No. I'd be making different sounds.
Can you imagine?
If I was eating a pancake.
You ate a pancake?
It'd be sounds like I was having a special time with myself.
You're just doing a little cutting, which
I'm doing some cutting so
you're
I can eat during the break.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can eat during the break. I apologize if it's distracting.
It's not distracting at all. In fairness, I look over and I'm thinking, Danny Ruye is about to eat a pancake.
Is my co-host about to eat a pancake?
That would be fairly stunning. Yeah, I'll grade his meal. Go ahead and lean that over toward me, please.
I'm just trying to cut my meal.
Yeah, but just kind of lean it over here so I can look at it real quick.
One sec. Here we go. You got
2080 scouting scale.
Yeah. So are you doing it on a real 2080 scale?
Absolutely.
Or is it on our scale for what we're allowed to eat?
Okay. There is mushrooms, which were sauteed in a pan, it looks like.
The wife made it. There's like a sauce
What kind of mushrooms are these? They're the ones I eat all the time.
I don't know.
I want to say they're portobello mushrooms.
I'm supposed to know.
I think they're portobello. And then thin chicken.
Mm-hmm.
How do you buy that chicken that looks like that?
Again, this is a wife production.
Okay.
So I have no idea.
Cooked in a crock pot, cooked in a pan?
Pan. With,
okay.
She did a bunch of things where she like made something, took it out, then put the mushrooms in, then took it out, and then like did a sauce thing, and then put chicken.
What's the sauce in there?
I don't remember.
You don't know nothing?
I have very little details.
Okay. I'm looking at this. I'm going to be honest with you, Tom. This is a 60 meal. Chicken and mushrooms.
No, it's lower than that.
With sauce. I'm a hungry guy, and I can't eat a lot of things I like. I love chicken, and I love mushrooms. If you had a ice-cold Coca-Cola, I'd give it a 60 because you don't. Maybe I'll knock it down to a 55. But it's about a 55.
On our thing, it's a 60. But in real life, for a human being, like Brendan Dark can go to Shake Shack right now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? This isn't Shake Shack. You follow me? It's not.
But it's perfectly reasonable. For a lunch in Tupperware, it's cold.
It's reasonable.
Chicken, it's mushrooms, it's sauce. If you eat it up, it'd be perfectly
surprisingly
fine.
Good last night.
All right, I hope you enjoy it when you do get to eat it
Thank
eventually
you very much.
When
Thank
we're
you.
Done talking about
I apologize for derailing there.
No, I derailed because I saw a pancake.
Yeah, but I'm over here cutting away, and that's...
You're allowed to. I eat half the time while you're talking. It's perfectly fine.
All right.
I wouldn't be mad at yourself here. I would be mad at me for thinking someone was eating a pancake. How funny is it, by the way, that I was freaking out that one of us was going to get to eat a pancake?
It's very telling. That's where we are right now.
It's like, Danny, is that a pancake? No, it's a piece of chicken.
You take out your phone and instinctively start texting Wads, and how come Danny gets a pancake?
Yeah, exactly.
How come Danny gets a pancake?
Just watching so close as you're about to eat a pancake. But it's chicken, so everyone's calm down.
We're fine.
No one's eating pancakes.
No one's eating pancakes.
EMP 180 weight loss. We're eating chicken and mushrooms. Fear not. On the wide receiver position, though, Cousins said they need someone who could take the lid off. That they basically need a speed threat who could stretch the field. He said they need to draft someone in that 4-3 range. He knows they're not that many guys like that who can give them what DeSean Jackson did. That can get you right back into a game. Who can be, think John Brown, Arizona for this team. They don't have that. So when you say that and you say receivers are work in progress and you talk about maybe losing guys in free agency, clearly there's a little bit of concern here. So now you fast forward to here is what you've got next season. Crowder in his contract year, mm-hmm. He'll be better than he was this season. He's a good player. Josh Doctson in a make or break, what are you going to be kind of year? Are you going to become a number one wideout? Am I going to bank on 80 catches for 1,150 yards and 10 touchdowns a bunch of times? Or is this kind of who you are? Acrobatic, ridiculous, jumping, leaping grabs that most of the guys in the league can't make, which is why you went in the first round and people thought you might be the best receiver in your draft class, but lacking the quick twitch explosiveness that guys like Julio Jones and A.J. Green have that allow them to be number one wide receivers. Ryan Grant is a free agent, oh, by the way. Grant could go somewhere else and be the 3 or the 4 elsewhere. The Redskins would probably like to pay him on the cheap and keep him around as their number 4, former 5th-round pick out of Tulane. Brian Quick's the kind of guy you could bring back on the cheap.
Yep.
But there's probably 10 teams he could go to and have a little bit bigger role than he had in Washington.
And there's also 10 Brian Quicks, with all due respect.
Probably
you could
a lot
always,
more.
You could always find that.
Maurice Harris has some upside, some potential. Robert Davis, people love him. And I'll tell you why. It's because they drafted him in the 6th round.
Uh-huh.
There's no other reason that anyone loves Robert Davis.
That is correct.
So what you've got is definitely Doxson on the outside, Crowder on the inside. The opposite starter from Doxson as your co-number one-ish wideouts, if you will, or your number two in this case if Doxson becomes your number one, is not on the roster right now. You have Grant as your number four, with Harris as your probable fifth guy who may or may not be up depending on if he's returning kicks on game day. So you're either going to spend an early round draft pick on a receiver or you're going to spend money at that position. I set this up this way to ask you, Danny, and to open up the phones at 800-636-1067. What would you do at the wide receiver position? I'm going to play what Cousins said again. What would you do at the wide receiver spot, knowing it is, as he called it, still a work in progress?
The receiver position, you know, I do think it's still a work in progress. You know, I think we have some guys who are going to be free agents, and like we did last year. And, you know, Terrell Pryor got hurt. Really, the injury goes back to, I believe, week two. So, you know, that wasn't the season we had hoped for, partly because of that injury. And Josh Doxson kind of came into a role as the year went on. So it's still evolving, but I do feel good about, you know, that position and the guys who contributed and the way they work day in and day out. And
I think I'm going to surprise you when I say this, and I can explain more next segment when you tell me what you're going to do as well.
All right.
I refuse to draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds this year. I refuse to do it.
Who are you?
Here's why.
Look at this.
Because it is very difficult to groom two kid receivers at the same time. Young receivers need targets. They need touches. They need involvement. They need painstaking attention paid to them. If you're going to get the most out of Josh Doxson, you can't also be multitasking with another baby that you're bringing along, with another child that you're trying to rear, so to speak. So I am going to pay all my young receiver love and attention and patting on the back and getting a guy to be good to Josh Doxson.
Mm-hmm.
I am spending on someone opposite him, not as a Jarvis Landry type. I'm not spending that kind of money, but I'm going and getting a veteran who can catch 70 balls for close to 1,000 yards and be basically a slightly poor man's Pierre Garçon. I want to know what your plan is next, and I want to hit the phones on this. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You know what Cousins thinks? What do you think about the wide receiver spot and how you would improve it this offseason? Final few minutes of Grant and Danny. Chad Dukes versus the world is 7 minutes away from being on deck. 2 o'clock, Chad keeps you company. Speaking of Chad Show, 106.7 The Fan Live is completely sold out. The only way in is to win as of this moment. Starting January 16th, listen to Chad Dukes versus the World every afternoon at 5:20. Chad's going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets presented by the Purple Heart Foundation to 106.7 The Fan Live. The details are at thefandc.com/live. And I know we are pumped about that event. It's not very often we get to hang out with the Junks and Chad at the same time, and certainly not outside of the office.
The first one was awesome. It was so, so cool. About 600 people, I believe, were there for that. Energy was electric. Cool behind-the-scenes stuff. And, of course, there's no filter. So Dar doesn't have to tell everybody that it's not SiriusXM, and everybody can curse. It is a blast. I would encourage
you,
if you don't have
any tickets. Do they keep a curse counter during that thing? That'd be kind of funny.
Probably should. Give some guys something to do. But the first one was incredible. I know you can't get tickets, but I would try to tune in and get yourself into that event because it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Cool thing we could do.
A couple of calls still to get to on the phones we'll wrap up the show with. If you can't get a speedy receiver in free agency, to me, that's not the end of the world, because I think you could draft some Aldrick Robinson type who's just a one-hit wonder who can just go deep and catch the ball. Whoever the fastest guy with the best hands is, take that guy in like the sixth round out of whatever school they're from who runs a 4.38 40. Just someone who can stretch the defense out a little bit. Jay in D.C., how would you fix the receiver position is what we're asking.
Hey, Jay.
What's up, you guys? You guys kind of changed my mind. I was going to go all in on Jarvis Landry. I'm of Danny's thinking. I'm just going to draft defensive linemen. We already got like six under contract. I don't know what we're going to do with all these people.
Well, there's only a few that are good, though. I mean, Terrell McClain, see you later. No disrespect to A.J. Francis, see you later.
But are they just going to drop those guys?
Yeah.
I mean, they signed big time. They signed pretty kind of mid-tier contracts. They just going to drop them?
I'll get you the numbers on Terrell McClain if you
McGee
cut
McClain
him.
McClain did.
But no, like most of those guys, there's two guys if you cut them that would cost you money, and that's McClain and McGee. McGee's staying here. McGee had a pretty good season, I thought. McClain's the only one that costs you anything you're getting rid of. So you've got Ioannidis, Allen, McGee, and I'm missing one guy. Ioannidis, Allen, McGee, and Anthony Lanier.
Lanier.
So there's at least three openings still where you need impact players.
And I just feel like Ziggy started over all of those guys all year. So how are they even? Well, anyway, just, let me just get to the wide receivers. I would go with your plan, Paul Richardson, definitely. I was going to draft a guy, but I really don't know any fast guys this year. They're probably going to come from the small schools and from the colleges. I just don't know a lot of fast guys besides, Paris Campbell out of Ohio State. But he probably is going to go pretty early, and I don't want to draft anyone that high. But I would definitely go with either Allen Robinson or Marquise Lee, because Marquise Lee has a little bit of speed, and I think that's what we're really lacking is speed on both sides of the ball, and I'm glad they drafted some speed last year.
Now you're speaking my language, my
friend.
Thank
you, Jay. And to me, it's all about where you get production and value. So I'm willing to break the bank for certain things. I'm willing to back up the truck, and if I can somehow get a pass rusher in his prime, I'll do that. If I can somehow get a rangy Earl Thomas free safety kind of guy in his prime, I'll do that. If I can get a wide receiver that I can book for my 1,100 yards on 80 catches and a handful of touchdowns, I'll do that. Quarterback's a spot, I'll do that. Other spots, it's got to be something so unbelievably enticing.
Yeah.
I'm never going to spend big on a free agent running back, for example. Now I'm kind of the mind that I don't know that I would do that for a defensive lineman on the interior, because the Redskins don't have a great track record there.
If you wait until after June 1st and you cut Terrell McClain, it will cost you $1.2 million against your cap.
That little, wow.
If you wait until after June 1st and you cut him and Stacy McGee, which I wouldn't advocate because I thought McGee was a good run stuffer, it would cost you a total of $2 million. That's it, to cut those two guys in cap space. So that's absolutely doable. McClain, again, I don't even like saying this on the radio because it's just kind of rude and mean. The guy's never been anything but pleasant when I talk to him in the locker room. See ya. He is the epitome of just the guy.
Yeah, they make a lot of that.
I think McGee actually played well enough that I'm intrigued in keeping him around. And Ziggy Hood, who I like a lot, is also a dude. There are a lot of Ziggy Hoods available, so you can either keep him or not. If he's still on the roster as a starter next year, great. I have no problem with that. My point is, strive until you've got to form the roster with those types of guys, which is fine. You can get by with them, to do better. The plan should be to do better than that until you can't anymore.
100%.
James in Arlington, what's up?
Hey, James.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, so I'm kind of Grant's mindset where we need to draft a defensive lineman, and the person that I'm thinking about is the nose tackle out of Washington. Are we totally opposed to taking a tight end that's more of a pass catcher than a run blocker in like the third or fourth round?
Yes.
Just because of the uncertainty of Jordan Reed, I think that might be a more applicable solution.
I get the idea,
for,
dude.
Yeah, I see what
James,
you're saying.
I think it's a smart idea in kind of a team building, let's plan for what's going to happen in the next couple years standpoint. It's like a savvy GM move. You got too many needs right now. You got Vernon Davis, and while he had a poor second half compared to his first half, he can make some plays in the passing game, who's got good speed still. You got Jordan Reed. I think that's way more a want than a need. If you're drafting a tight end, it's got to be some 275-pound dude who pushes people around.
Brian Keselowski.
Because they cannot block in the running game.
I would like to upgrade the drapes and my carpet in the solarium. My kitchen's on fire.
Yes.
I got to put that fire out first before I start to do anything else, and that's my defense. This has been the case for years. They still need to do it, by the way.
We should spend 4 hours tomorrow talking about the draft. I had so much fun these last half hours.
It's so much fun.
We should just talk about the draft all show tomorrow.
So much fun.
Why not? Dar's in. Why don't we just do that?
I love the draft. I love it.
Chad Dukes versus the world at 2. Grant and Danny, thanking you for listening.
For GP, Brandon, Thom, I'm Danny. Next on CDVTW, a special show. This is a big deal, Grant. You don't know about this.
What do we have?
So there's a rumor that the Nationals are interested in Lance Lynn, pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. Dukes has every reason why. The strikeout rate has gone down, but sharp contact rate has also gone down.
Oh.
BABIP lower, potential free agent target, ?
Dukes also once did a report for CK on Lance Lynn and Drew Storen having been high school teammates. And that high school in Indiana, and why they're such a baseball powerhouse. I think he's going to give some of those results as well.
There are two books on CK's desk, Chasing Rocky by J.P. Flame and the Chad Dukes Lance Lynn Drew Storen Report. Both are earmarked, flagged, bookmarked, all sorts of spots. It will be intriguing. 4 hours plus, CDVTW.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.